Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for your grace and your mercy. Thankful for the privilege of gathering together, studying a portion of your word, since we recognize that is the only thing that's stable on this planet, and our stability depends upon it. So we're grateful that you've given us your word in written form. And we have gathered to study a portion of it. So we request that the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. He reads in the 1984 edition of the NIV, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Now the focus of these two verses is Israel's request to Moses to be the intermediate agent between them and God. Thus then, the message that this passage intended to convey to the reader is that the impact of the special manifestation of Yahweh on Mount Sinai caused Israel to request Moses' intermediacy with God so as to avoid Yahweh's direct communication to them and possible resultant death. Now this message is one that the subsequent generation of Israelites will get. But since we are not Israel of old, we should derive a message from the major message that the Holy Spirit wants us to receive from the study of this passage. To this end then, a message we believe the Holy Spirit wants us to hear from this passage is this: your eagerness to study the Word of God on your own without a gifted teacher is because you do not stand in awe of God's Word and do not recognize that such could lead to His judgment. Again, your eagerness to study the Word of God on your own without a gifted teacher is because you do not stand in awe of God's Word and do not recognize that such could lead to His judgment. People who want to be teachers do not realize that they aim for judgment. Now this message though that I've given you is not intended to discourage you from being eager to study the Bible, only that you must do so guided by a gifted teacher of the Word of God, preferably your pastor, since misreading and misapplication of the Word of God may bring His judgment on an individual. Now, as we expound the passage before us, it will become clearer as to how we derive the message that we have just stated. Our first concern is really the placement of the timing of the narrative given in a passage, the placement of his timing. Now, this is because of the preceding context of our passage. Now, Moses described in the first 17 verses of the 20th chapter of Exodus the 10 commandments God spoke in the hearing of Israel. Now, before God communicated to Israel, there were several upheavals in weather, as described in the 19th chapter of Exodus. It is in the midst of these upheavals that God of Israel made his appearance known to Israel as they heard him communicate to Moses and then to themselves. They heard him. So the issue is really to determine the timing of this request of Israel to Moses, as narrated in verse 19 particularly. Now, this issue then affects how to begin verse 18 of the 20th chapter of Exodus, the timing. Now, the Hebrew text begins with a Hebrew particle. That's one that's often translated "and." And in our English versions, we find that translated "and." However, the Hebrew particle has several other usages. Now, although some of our English versions, such as the New American Standard Bible and the New English Translation, they not translate it, the particle is really subject to two possible interpretations in this particular passage. It could be interpreted as a marker of point of time, roughly simultaneous with another point in time, so that it may be translated while. Now, this usage of our Hebrew particle is conveyed when Moses' father-in-law rebuked him for failure to delegate judging functions to others, as stated in Exodus chapter 18, verse 14. Exodus chapter 18, verse 14. It reads, when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning to evening?" See that clause in the 1984 edition? It says, "While all these people stand around you." Literally, the Hebrew actually reads, "And all these people stand around you." So then there should be no doubt that our Hebrew particle, although has a literal meaning of "and," may be translated "while" in some context. Now, none of the English versions I consulted, which is over 27 of them, use this meaning of our Hebrew particle in Exodus 20 verse 18, but it is a possible interpretation. Now, many of our English versions that adopted the interpretation of our Hebrew particle as a marker of point of time, roughly simultaneous with another point in time, use the meaning "when" to begin verse 18, "when." As you see here in the NIV. Anyway, another possible interpretation of our Hebrew particle that is applicable to our passage of Exodus 20 verse 18 is really to take it as a marker that introduces a new topic or a new aspect of a current topic In which case, it may be translated now. Now, this meaning now could also be used to indicate the sense of time, so that it is difficult to be certain of how the English versions, such as the English Standard Version and the Amplified, how they use the word now to begin verse 18. Nonetheless, our Hebrew particle is probably used in both senses in our passage. In effect, we are saying that it is used to indicate that the request of Israel to Moses is a new aspect of the whole experience of Israel with the special appearance of Yahweh to them at Mount Sinai. But that's not all. The event took place while the events associated with the appearance of Yahweh at Sinai were still taking place. In effect, the manifestation of the unique presence of Yahweh at Mount Sinai were still ongoing when Israel made their request. In other words, we say it hadn't stopped. It was in the midst of that. Now, we are sure of this interpretation for two reasons. There is no indication at this point in the narrative that the events that were taking place on Mount Sinai has ceased. We don't have any indication at this point. Therefore, it is unreasonable to believe that it was during these events that Israel requested Moses to serve as the intermediary agent with God. Now, another reason for accepting our interpretation that things were still going on, nothing had stopped when they made that request, is that when Moses gave his final address to Israel prior to his death, what we call his final will address, he indicated that the request the Israelites made of him, as given in verse 19 of the passage that we're studying, occurred while the events that marked the special appearance of Yahweh were still taking place, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 23 to 25. Now, this is what I call it, what a tight proof that the interpretation we gave is correct. That things were still going on. I mean, things were just still rumbling that mountain when they were afraid and asked Moses to become their go-between them and God. So here Moses says that. He said, when you heard a voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leading men of your tribes and your elders came to me. And you said, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire today. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. See, it was clearly. Anyway, by the way, though, the translation or the translators of the NIV rendered then our Hebrew particle that with the word while in this passage, since look at verse 23 of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, where you have, while the mountain was ablaze with fire. Literally, he reads, and the mountain burning with fire. So that word and, they now translate it while. So it's perfectly a good way to translate the word in some context. Anyway, the point is that Moses conveyed that the Israelites approached him while the events that occurred on Mount Sinai during the special appearance of Yahweh were still taking place. Now the events that were still occurring during this special appearance of Yahweh on Mount Sinai are described then in terms of Israel's experience that concern observation and hearing of something. They observe something, they have something. Now, nothing in certain situations can perhaps be more real in a person's experience than what one observes and hears. Those two probably stand out to make something very real to you. For Israel, their first experience that concerns observation involves two weather-related events mentioned in the sentence of where we're studying Exodus 20, verse 18. Look at it. It reads, the people saw the thunder and lightning. The people saw the thunder and lightning. Now, the word saw here is really translated from a Hebrew word that generally denotes the physical sense of perception with the eye, so that it may mean to see, all right? But it conveys various other meanings. The word may mean to see after or to learn about, as the word is used to describe Joseph's mission when his father sent him into the field where his brothers were shepherding the flock in order to see, check them up, for which he never came back, so to say, according to Genesis chapter 37, verse 14. Genesis chapter 37, verse 14. It is, so he said to him, go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron when Joseph arrived at Shechem. Now, the word may mean to perceive, as of course it's used to describe God's action when he appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. This, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. See that clause, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, may be understood to mean that God perceived Moses' curiosity with respect to the burning bush. Now the word also may mean to observe or to watch, as it is used to describe what the Philistines did or say once they let loose the ark of God to return to Israel, as narrated in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 9. Now this is a case where even unbelievers at that time, they realize God is in control of things, even though they never really believed in the God of Israel, but they have the concept that God, in their mind, whoever God they were, they just believed God is in control of all things. But more so, they had a respect for the God of Israel, even though they didn't believe in him. So here is an incident where they say, okay, let's return this ark that seems to be giving us a lot of problems. We're having all these cancers and tumors. Let's return it to Israel and see if that will subside. And here as they're returning, they said, we're going to test it out. We sent out these animals drawing the cart, carrying the ark to Israel. If he goes straight to Israel, we know that yes, it is Yahweh that's dealing with us. If he doesn't, according to them, we know it just happened by chance, as people say, right? So this is what we have here. He said, but keep watching it. If he goes up to his own territory toward Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. But if he does not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us, and that it happened to us by chance. Of course, to their surprise, the cart went exactly where it's supposed to go, showing that the God of Israel was directing it. And so they learned that, yes, the God of Israel rained judgment upon them. Anyway, the Hebrew word may mean to see in the sense of to experience. Especially you experience something that will convince you of something. And that is the way the word is used in the invitation given to believers in the time of the psalmist. He gave an invitation that is applicable to all who call on the name of God today. Those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The same invitation is given to all of us in Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34 verse 8. It is, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Now obviously, the invitation to see that Yahweh is good is not one that requires the organ of sight, as it is to experience something about Yahweh that will confirm that he is good. That is one of those reasons I always say, I'm one of those who believe in experiential Christianity. That is, if you experience the Lord, nothing moves you away from being devoted to him. People who are not serious with their spiritual life is because they have not experienced Him. If you experience the Lord in a very real personal way, you don't need any convention from any other human being. So you'll be devoted to Him. But you are invited to do so if you haven't done so. And one of the ways you do it is to claim a promise and watch and see Him do what He does best. Of course, as long as, you know, if it's a condition, if it's a promise that has a condition, as long as you fulfill the condition, you just sit back and relax and see Him do what He said He would do. And when you see that, I'm not, you know, in something that is just so concrete, it will convince you, yes, He is real, and that He rains His blessing on those who seek Him. And once you get that, my friend, your devotion to the Lord becomes one that is heightened. Anyway, the Hebrew word ra, translated see, in our passage of Exodus 20 verse 18 then, is used in the sense of to perceive by sight something. To perceive by sight something. So the thing or the things Israel as a people perceived or observed are given then in the phrase where we're studying Exodus 20 verse 18. Look at it again. It says, the thunder and lightning. The thunder and lightning. Now the word thunder here is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean sound, as it is used in connection with the bells that were involved in the entrance and exit of Aaron or the high priest from the tent of meeting, as stated in Exodus chapter 28 verse 35. Exodus chapter 28 verse 35. It is Aaron must wear it when he ministers. The sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, so that he will not die. Now here, our Hebrew word translated thunder really is translated simply sound. Now the word really, the Hebrew word call actually means voice. It can mean voice as the word is used in the excuse of Basileia for not wanting to go to Jerusalem with King David at the end of Absalom's revolt. And his reason is, I'm too old. I can hardly appreciate music, so to say. As stated in 2 Samuel chapter 19 verse 35. Second Samuel chapter 19 verse 35. It reads, I'm now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is good and what's not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices? That's a Hebrew word here. It's voices of men and women singers. Why should your servant be an added body to my Lord the King? Now he, Basileia, he has expressed something that if you are young, keep living. If the Lord doesn't come back, you come to that state. There's a state in this life where all these things that people call entertainment will mean nothing to you. Nothing. And that is because in some cases, you know, there are a lot of benefits from learning how to be content with yourself, sitting down at home without going on anywhere, because a time is coming. If the Lord doesn't come back, don't take you away when you're young, you'll be confined because of you can't go out anywhere you want to. Now, if you have built your life on being on the road all the time, getting old becomes a miserable thing. Because you can't deal with it. Because you've got to be on the go all the time. So you learn to do that, not to be on the road all the time. Learn to be appreciative of your house. Anyway, so this is what Basilea, in a sense, is really saying, where am I going? I stay where I am. Now, in our passage, though, of Exodus 20, verse 18, our Hebrew word really refers to a booming or crashing sound that normally accompanies lightning in a storm, hence simply means thunder, that's associated with lightning. Now, the thunder Israel heard was certainly unique in that it signaled the unique presence of Yahweh at Mount Sinai. That's very unique because of what it represents. See, we say this because when there is thunder, it's often, not always, but it's often followed by rainstorms, often, as we know from experience. And of course, the scripture also says the same thing in Job chapter 36, verse 33. Job chapter 36 verse 33 speaks to the concept of thunder and storm coming together. He says, his thunder announces the coming storm. So that's what we say, normally. Often when you have thunder, storm follows it. That's why I say his thunder announces the coming storm. Even the cattle make known its approach. But the thunder Israel observed had nothing to do with rain, but simply special appearance of Yahweh at Mount Sinai. So that's why we say it's unique. It's not a thunder, but it's the same sounding, a booming sound, but this one singling something else. So in any event, thunder is often then also associated with lightning. That thunder is associated with lightning is indicated in the phrase of Exodus 20:18 that we're studying, because the next phrase is and lightning. Now the word lightning is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean torch, as part of the equipment Gideon gave the soldiers who went to war against the Midianites, as stated in Judges chapter 7, verse 16. Judges chapter 7 verse 16 reads, dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. The Hebrew word translated lightning here is translated torches. Now in our passage though, although the Hebrew word sometimes can mean firebrand, but in our passage, it really has the sense of lightning. That is, of course, a flash of light that accompanies lightning, not just the lightning, so it's that flashing light. Anyway, the third thing Israelites observe that involves smoke in the mountain is given in the verbal phrase of Exodus 20, verse 18, where it says, saw the mountain in smoke. That phrase, mountain in smoke, is literally the mountain smoking. The mountain smoking. Now, this is because we have a Hebrew adjective that means smoking. Now, the word appears only twice in the Old Testament scripture. In the other occurrence of the word, it is used figuratively by prophet Isaiah in his encouragement to King Ahaz not to be afraid of two kings that have gone together to attack him and his people. I assured him not to be afraid of these two kings, Rezin and Pekah, as he described them as really non-threatening weaklings, even though they are regarded as powerful. But that's the way the prophet described them in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4 reads, say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stumps of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Now our Hebrew word is translated smoldering here in the NIV, smoldering, and in many of the English versions, but a handful of our English versions, such as the New English Translation and the New Jewish version, the Tanakh, they use the meaning smoking in their translation. Well, according to the United Bible Society handbook, smoldering, according to them, describes something as slowly burning, often describing the dying moments of a fire. So it is not then surprising that phrase in Isaiah where it says smoldering stumps of firewood is translated in the contemporary English version this way, as a dying fire. That's how they translate a dying fire. Now that aside, in our passage of Exodus 20 verse 18 though, the word means smoking, that is of course emitting smoke in great volumes. Thus the people of Israel observed smoke that is emitted from Mount Sinai as part of the first element of the experience that involves observation. Now this leads us to the second element of Israel's experience during the special appearance of Yahweh to Israel at Mount Sinai. The second element of Israel's experience at Mount Sinai during Yahweh's special appearance to them concerns hearing something as we stated previously. They have something. Now, the thing they heard is described in the verbal phrase of Exodus 20, verse 18, when it says, and heard the trumpet. And heard the trumpet. Now, a little Hebrew really reads this way. And the sound of the ram's horn. That's all the Hebrew says. And the sound of the ram's horn. Now, you see the expression of the NIV, heard the trumpet, is translated from a Hebrew word that refers to horn for blowing. So that it really means, it has the meaning of trumpets as the instruments the priests were to sound during the conquest of Jericho, as stated in Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. Joshua chapter 6, verse 4 reads, have seven priests carry trumpets of rams, ram's horn, in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. Now, of course, in our passage of Exodus 20, verse 18, the word has the sense of horn instrument. That is, an animal horn used as an instrument which is blown through to produce sound. However, our Hebrew word is used with a Hebrew word that means sounder, so that the combined Hebrew expression of words simply mean blast. That is the sound of a horn. So in effect, although the word heard of the NIV is not explicitly used in the Hebrew text, the sense of the Hebrew phrase is that of people of Israel hearing the sound of a horn or a blast. Now Yahweh intended for Israel, for his special appearance in Mount Sinai, manifested through weather-related events and the smoking of the mountain to impact Israel so that they will recognize that it is not a simple matter for Yahweh to appear in a special way to them. That's what he wanted them to see with those things going on. Consequently, Israel's experience in terms of what they observed and saw had impact on them. Now, that these things had impact on the people of Israel, Israel introduced them with a Hebrew particle that is not translated in the NIV. Now, we say this because the impact of these special events that occurred at Mount Sinai is described. Look at Exodus 20, verse 18. We're starting. Look at that. It says, they trembled with fear. They trembled with fear. Now, a literal translation reads this way. It just said, and they trembled. And they trembled. So the conjunction and used in the literal translation is the same Hebrew particle we said is often translated and. However, the Hebrew particle no doubt has several other usages. So that in our passage, it is really used to introduce the result of the events the people of Israel witnessed occurring at Mount Sinai, so that the words will really be translated so or therefore. So or therefore. Now, the only English version among those that consulted that reflected this translation is God's word. Was God's word that translation God's word. In that they begin this clause with the word so. So. Now this is in part primarily because majority of our English versions translated our Hebrew particle with the word when in the literal clause of Exodus 20:18 when it said, and the people, they just said, and the people. So this is the way they translated it, when the people saw it. So that's part of the reason they did not properly translate it. Now probably then, as a result of using that phrase and when, many translators saw no need for translating the Hebrew particle we indicated is to indicate the results of what the people of Israel experienced on Mount Sinai. Those things that they experienced had an impact upon them, which is what God intended. So anyway, we contend then that the Hebrew particle that begins the literal sentence, and they trembled, should be understood as pointing to the results of Israel's experience with the events that occurred on Mount Sinai. Now actually, there are two results reported in the verse that we're considering. Two results. The first result is that Israel was gripped with fear, as that is what is conveyed in the sentence of Exodus 20:18. They trembled with fear. Now, this translation of the NIV seemed to have followed the Septuagint. The Septuagint. Because the Septuagint reads this way, and all the people feared. All the people feared. Since, of course, the Masoretic text, that is the text from which our Old Testament is translated, actually reads, the people saw and they trembled. The people saw and they trembled. Now the expression tremble with fear of the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to shake, as it is used to describe the movement of various parts of the body, as in the shaking of the head that describes how people will react when they will see the Messiah crucified. That's the way the psalmist talked about it way before it happened in Psalm 22:7. Psalm 22:7. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 7 reads, all who see me mock me. We know all that fulfilled on the cross. They hurl insults. Now, shaking, that's a Hebrew word, shaking their heads. Now, the Hebrew word may also mean to stagger. As it is used to describe what people will do when there is scarcity of the teaching of the Word of God. I believe it's almost here, but that's what Prophet Amos talked about centuries ago, that it will come and people will stagger looking for it, according to Amos chapter 8 verse 12. Of course, verse 11 is where it predicted that, but verse 12 is the staggering. Amos verse 11 says, famine is coming, but it's not of lack of food, but lack of the word of God. Teaching of the word of God, really. And I'm saying, yes, we are at it right now. Because he reads, many will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Now, to me, my understanding, I believe we're almost there now. I mean, there are a lot of churches, there are a lot of it, but when it actually comes to teaching the word, very few places do that. So right now, we are in that state. Anyway, the Hebrew word may mean to tremble, all right? As it is used to describe what will happen to the idols of Egypt in the face of the judgment of Yahweh, as stated in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1. Isaiah Isaiah 19 verse 1, it is an oracle concerning Egypt. See, the Lord rise on his swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. The idols of Egypt tremble before him, and the hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear. So in our passage of Exodus 20 verse 8 in the Hebrew word, no, that means has the sense of to tremble. That is, of course, to move or jerk quickly and involuntarily up and down or sideways as a sign of fear. Now the sentence "they trembled with fear" is really intended to convey to us that it is not a simple matter for Yahweh to manifest his presence in a unique way, or even to reveal himself to a person in any unique way. Our God is so majestic and fear-inspiring that when he makes his presence known in a unique way, the recipient will be gripped with fear in one way or another. Now, Moses' focus in the sentence that we are considering is really the result of events the people of Israel experienced. We know this because I'm not going to read it, but we already studied chapter 19 of Exodus, verse 18. That's why he talked about this fear that came to people because of what was going on in the mountain. Now, in that passage, no doubt, Moses was being emphatic regarding the people's response, as long as with respect to what he had or what they had on the mountain, and that's why he repeated himself in our passage. So really, here's the thing. There should be no doubt that the events that occurred on Mount Sinai left an impression on the people, since it will be difficult to undergo the kind of experience that they had and not remember it in years to come. See, there are some things that are traumatic. You don't forget them. Now, this reality is really demonstrated by Apostle Paul when the Lord Jesus appeared to him on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. That experience impacted him, and it was not something that he could easily forget. We know he talked about it quite a bit. We know this because several years later, when he defended himself before King Agrippa, the apostle referenced that experience, as we read in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 19. Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 19. It is. On one of these journeys, you know, he's saying, I've been persecuting these people. So on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. So you see, the special presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to Apostle Paul involved light that was brighter than that of the sun and was such that he was blinded, although his sight was later restored to him. So there was no way for him to forget such special appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. It's for this reason we contend that the people of Israel will not forget the experience of Yahweh's special appearance to them at Mount Sinai. So the point that we want to emphasize is that any special manifestation of God's presence will cause a person to tremble in fear. The Lord may not manifest himself to you the way he did to Israel or to the Apostle Paul, but he does manifest himself in various ways that involve real experiences in the lives of believers. For example, there are those who have been in very difficult or life-threatening situations, and the Lord manifested his presence in a unique way to deliver them from danger or to do things that leave no doubt of his special presence. Now, if you experience any such special manifestation of the Lord in your life, you are duty bound to live in awe of him. You should marvel at his person and walk. You should also tremble when you hear his word taught, since God is pleased with the believers that respond that way to his word, as we may deduce from Isaiah 66, verse 2. Isaiah 66, verse 2 reads, has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit Look at the next thing there. And trembles at my word. You know what it means to tremble at his word? You hear his word, you immediately put it into action. You don't want to delay it. You don't dismiss it. That's what it means to tremble at his word, to begin with. Anyway, be that as it may, we contend, though, that Moses wanted to leave the impression on the reader that the special appearance of Yahweh is no small matter because of the events that occurred on the mountain and because the people of Israel trembled with fear once they saw the events that signaled Yahweh's presence. So in any event, the first result then of the special appearance of Yahweh to Israel on Mount Sinai is that the people of Israel were gripped with fear. So this brings us to the second result. Now it is with this result that we'll begin our next study, but let me end by reminding you of the message that we have considered, which is your eagerness to study the Word of God on your own without a gifted teacher is because you do not stand in awe of God's Word and do not recognize that such could lead to His judgment. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your Word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to cause us to remain in awe of you and your Word. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.